Well, this hour, of course, we'll take your phone calls with the psychic lawyer, Mark Anthony. If you want a reading, he just needs your name and you give him a question. Simple as that. And we'll also be talking this hour about haunted real estate. Perhaps you've been in one. Next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. The psychic lawyer with us, Mark Anthony. Mark, some of the questions I'm going to ask you about haunted real estate has to do with your legal background as well. Because in some states, you have to disclose if you believe your house is haunted, don't you?
Well, about 20 states have stigmatized property statutes. And you don't necessarily have to say that it's haunted, but a lot of these stigmatized property statutes require people, the seller, to disclose to buyers if someone had died in the house or if there's been a suicide. Somebody dying of HIV, or there was maybe a criminal activity on the house. Now, certainly things like, you know, termites and water intrusion and problems with the roof have to be disclosed. But what happens, George, is some properties become psychologically traumatized. At least that's the phrase that they're using. And so we now know that in the state of New York, and I think New York kind of leads the nation in this, that if the seller of the house was advertising or holding it out to the public that, hey, I live in a haunted house, or you know, you can come and visit this and do a paranormal investigation, if you make it a public, the public aware that this house has a paranormal reputation, then that must be disclosed to potential sellers.
Now, what gives a house this haunted reputation?
Well, that certainly is an interesting area. A lot of the folks that you've had on Coast to Coast who are paranormal investigators come in. Like, there was a house in Toms River, New Jersey, where these this young couple, they had leased the house, and then they wanted to break the lease because they said that it was haunted. And the Shore Paranormal Research Society of Toms River came in and did a whole investigation of it. And they said that, well, it wasn't really conclusive, but they did find some indication of, you know, electrical activity, and some of their EVP and K2 meters were responding to a certain, I guess, spectral phenomenon. And then there's other houses. I can go through a few if you'd like.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
Please.
Well, first of all, let me start with this. It used to be that if people thought a house was haunted, nobody would touch it. But now, George, it's becoming a sales point. And in, according to a recent survey by Realtor.com, 49% of the people polled said they would under no circumstances buy a haunted house. But that means 51% would. And some of the factors that go into it is, well, if the price were right, if it's in a good neighborhood or it has a large kitchen, people don't care if there's a ghost or two, you know, wafting around the house. One of the most interesting ones is in Wichita, Kansas. It's known as the Campbell Castle. Now, this thing is a bargain at only $3.5 million. It's 16 bedroom, 14 bath. And the thing is, it was built over a century ago by a gentleman by the name of Colonel Burton Harvey. And what he did, George, is he designed it to look like a castle from Scotland. And he had fireplaces and a lot of the antiques imported from Europe, including a 300-year-old staircase from London. And according to legend, ghosts attached with those material possessions came along and now are haunting the house. And the thing I get a kick out of kind of reminds me of like Disney's Haunted Mansion, where
yeah,
they go, beware of hitchhiking ghosts. But the thing is, the Campbell Castle is on the National Register of Historic Places. Another one which is really fascinating is in New Orleans. And certainly anyone who has visited New Orleans, you can see where Anne Rice and other mystery and ghost writers get their inspiration. But the Adams Griffin House, this one has a great story to it. It apparently, according to the reputation, is inhabited by Civil War era ghosts. And as the story goes, there were some Confederate soldiers who were deserters, and what they were doing is they put on Union uniforms, and they got caught looting houses. And when it was discovered that they were Confederate soldiers, they were held at the Adams Griffin House, and they were awaiting trial. And they knew it was going to be a slam dunk for the prosecution, that they were going to be executed horribly. So they bribed a guard who gave them each a gun, and they shot each other in the chest.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. And so since that time, paranormal activity has been reported, and it is currently listing for over $1 million. So I've done a survey, and we won't go through all of it, but it's now kind of becoming chic in some circles to say there may be a ghost or two here, and you may see an apparition, and that's actually creating interest in certain properties.
That's true. I'm not sure I'd want to buy a place that was truly haunted, but there are some people who would do that, Mark.
They would, and then on the flip side of the coin, there's some properties that apparently they can't really even give away, one of which is the former apartment building that Jeffrey Dahmer lived in, and I think most people are familiar with him. He was known as...
Mr. Serial Killer.
Yeah, he was a serial killer and a cannibal, and the apartment building he lived in was demolished back in 1992, and it's remained a vacant lot ever since. Nobody wants to touch it. Then in Chicago, you got the house that John Wayne Gacy lived in, where he murdered 33 young men and boys. Now, that was torn down, and it sat vacant for years. And what's kind of eerie about that one is rumors abound that not even weeds would grow on the lot because it was haunted. But recently, somebody bought the property. They put up a ranch-style house, and they have it on the market for $250,000. So there's all sorts of things happening with real estate that has these paranormal or shady reputations.
Well, the hospital where the movie The Exorcist, the real story was a boy from Baltimore, but he ended up coming to St. Louis for the exorcism from a couple priests, and they had him in a hospital. It was called the Election Brothers Hospital. Whoop, you there, Mark?
Yes, I'm here.
I heard that. Strange.
I don't know where that's coming from.
Yeah, really? Somebody picked up your other line?
Maybe we get some of these haunted ghosts trying to chime in on the show.
Yeah, exactly. That's weird. But it was in a hospital here in St. Louis, and the hospital boarded up the room that they had the exorcism in after it was done. They would not let anybody in. They then sold off the bed and the dresser and the stuff that was in the room to people. And apparently those people who bought those artifacts experienced very bizarre, ghostly, paranormal activity. Isn't that weird?
Oh yeah. Well, there's another house which is in Canton, Mississippi. It's called the Priestley House. And it's rumored to be inhabited by a female ghost. And supposedly the piano that's in the home plays by itself. Candles spontaneously pop out of candle holders. People love going there, and it's listing for over $900,000.
Wow.
So sometimes these haunted reputations, and here's the thing, is it a real sentient spirit or...
Well, we got a problem here there.
Yeah, it has to be on your end, unfortunately, because... I'm the only one here, at least in the material world, so...
Well, it's not our stuff. Ours doesn't go through a certain system.
Wow. So...
If worse comes to worse, we have to run it on your cell phone, okay?
Okay.
If it pops up again, because that's...
Yeah, because every time I've been on the show, I've used this exact phone. It's a... landline corded, so this should...
See, when you're locked up technically here, nobody else can pick up the line.
Interesting.
So you're locked.
Not to get all spooky.
See, I can hear somebody on your other end. They're popping in and popping out. Don't you hear those little clicks?
I'm hearing, but there's nobody else here.
You don't think so?
I know. I mean, what better show for this to happen on than Coast to Coast?
And this is not a setup, folks. This is real.
This is not. And I'm a medium, and I'm like, no, but I'm not picking up on any malevolence or anything negative. So, the thing is, George, you're in St. Louis. We're talking to the whole world over a whole series of satellites. So there's all types of things.
Yeah, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to have Tom call you. Is your cell phone close by to you?
It is, but but you know what? If they call back on the landline, that might just fix it.
All right, let's do that. Tom, let's call him back right away and get Mark back on and see if we can get that taken care of. If not, we've got some kind of ghost doing his thing. So call him back, Tom. Get him on right now, if you would. And we'll get going with the rest of your calls as well. And we'll pick that up. Just very strange. Let's go to JD. JD, I'm going to go to you. Mark's not with us right now, but let's pick you up.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Mr. Norrie, and to your crew. Thank you, times nine. My question for Mr. Anthony is, my name is JD. I live in Indianapolis. My question is, should I continue with my psychic development classes, and what does he see that might come out of that?
All right. Well, let's keep you on the phone with me, JD, until we can get Mark back, and then we'll go with that and get that done. What do you think? Should you continue with them?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You better believe it. Ghost in the Machine, that's cool. And, Mr. Norrie, I'm surrounded by books. I've got books on order at the bookstore, the library, and it's all your fault.
I know it. I do that to so many people, but it's worth it. You get a PhD listening to this program, JD.
You are the good old lighthouse keeper.
So let's see. We got him back on? All right. Let's give it a try. Mark, we got you, I think.
Okay. Yeah, that's really weird because I've only got the one landline. You know, it's possible. I mean, I'm in Central Florida. We get a lot of electrical storms. Something could be going on, or it could be something else interfering with the electrical field of a other side nature. So,
all right. Well, let's go to JD. JD, go for it. He's on the line now.
Hi, Mr. Anthony. I've got both your books. I couldn't put them down. My name is JD. I live in Indianapolis. My question is, should I continue with my psychic development classes? And if so, what do you see might come out of that?
Yeah, you know, JD, the interesting thing is when you start talking, I start getting all this connection to the month of February and, in particular, amethyst, which is the birthstone for the month of February. Now, this could mean two different things. Amethyst is certainly a crystal that a lot of people associate with psychic ability and psychic development, but this could also indicate a significant birth, death, anniversary, or event connected to you within the month of February.
All right, there you go, JD. Maybe that'll help you. Next up, let's go to Alan in Atlanta, who just has a question. Go ahead, Alan.
Hey, guys. Hi, George. Hey, Mark. I was wondering, has it been your experience, Mark, that people short of, say, a homicide or a car accident have the ability and generally decide when they want to die?
But do people have the I'm sorry, repeat that one again, because I was having a difficult time hearing you.
Oh, okay. I was wondering if people short of a car accident or a homicide generally decide on their own when the time that they're going to die.
Okay, I understand your question. My belief, and I don't know if there's any way to test this, but the belief and also what I've received, the information I've received from spirits indicates there's a day that we're coming into the material world and the day that we're going out. And that would also include a car accident or a murder or something like that. Because if the person was not killed by the car accident, maybe they would have been hit by a bolt of lightning. And I don't mean, you know, I'm not being facetious when I say that. So it appears to me that those two dates are kind of attached to us. And the choice that we have is what we do with the time in between them. So that's why I always encourage people, you know, stick to the positive road. Do as many good and positive things as you can, because it appears that what we do in the material world has a direct bearing on when we transition to the other side, the frequency that we go to, and then if and when we reincarnate, how it will have a direct bearing on that.
All right, let's hope that helps you, Alan. Angela's with us in California. Welcome to the program. Hi, Angela.
Hi, how are you tonight?
Great. And you got a question for Mark?
Yep. Hi, Mark. Just wondering, a little bit about what you might see professionally for me and financially in the future?
Well, I'm a medium as opposed to a fortune teller, okay? So I don't say, oh, you're going to do this, you're going to find true love. So what my advice would be is figure out what you want to do career-wise. Pick something you love doing, because when you love what you do, you never feel like you're at work.
Do you ever get to the point, Mark, where the spirits bother you too much?
When I wasn't as disciplined about spirit communication as I am now, because you define the parameters of the contact, not them, but you have to tell them, hey, I'm doing this or I'm not doing this. When I do a session, either in public or in private, I always start with a prayer. And that prayer kind of alerts the other side, all right, he's doing this. And then when I close out a public session, I also close with a prayer. So once you begin to define and determine the parameters of the contact, it increases the quality of that, and so you are able to turn it on and turn it off, because otherwise you'll never get a decent night's sleep.
Nope. Christina's with us in San Diego now. Hi, Christina. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you.
Sure.
My question is about my ex-husband and the circumstances surrounding his passing. I was wondering if he was alone or with somebody there, and maybe any.
Hold on. Let's see if we can get him on. Let's see if we can get him first. Okay.
Okay.
Well, the one thing I'm getting with him is I'm getting this disruption within his with his blood, and I'm tasting a lot of blood. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean a bleed out. This could mean some type of issue or problem with his vascular system. In particular with his blood, but I'm getting a lot of clots, and I'm getting two in particular, a lot of pressure in the left ventricle of his heart, in addition to other clotting in his brain, and I'm getting swelling in the back of his head. So this could indicate perhaps a blow to the back of the head, or this could indicate that he may have been having a heart attack and he fell and hit his head. But your question is, were there anybody with him? Not at the time that this happened, but prior to it. I feel like maybe anywhere from a half hour to an hour, but he was alone when this hit him like a sledgehammer.
We're going to come back and take some final phone calls with Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer, in just a moment. And Mark, the books that you have out, can you get them, obviously, on Amazon?
Absolutely. They're both Evidence of Eternity and Never Letting Go are on Amazon. They're at all fine bookstores like Barnes & Noble, and like For Heaven's Sake in Denver, Aquarian Dreams in Florida, Unity of Naples. I mean, everywhere that I've been. And in fact, I understand they're even on sale in India, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Great Britain. They're everywhere.
Super. We'll come back and take final calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Mark Anthony with us. Mark, you are on a U.S. tour conducting mediumship demonstrations. Tell us where you go.
Oh, I am. If people want to sign up for my newsletter, please go to the link from my website, which is on the Coast to Coast site. But I will be in California, Colorado, Texas, Pennsylvania. I'll be speaking at IANS, International Association Near-Death Studies, annual conference in September, and I know that my manager has got about between now and 2020 dozens of things in the works. So people can sign up for my newsletter and follow me on social media. And George, I understand you're on a tour too, and you're going to actually be in my neck of the woods in July. Welcome. The Sunshine State loves you.
Well, if you're there, come on by and say hi to us, would you?
I would absolutely love to. I think that would be a lot of fun. And for the listeners, if I can, George, just for a second, for the listeners who have not seen George in person, you got to see him in person. I mean, he's incredible on radio, but it's a whole different thing when he's up on stage, and especially not only when you give your talks, but when you moderate panels it just engages the whole audience. And I'm on a lot of panels, and I speak a lot of expos and conventions and universities. You know, George, I have the most fun with you. So, I you know, everybody who's out there, definitely go see George.
It's fun seeing our listeners up front and personal, Mark. It really is a special relationship that we have with them.
You know, it is. And it's such an honor for me. I mean, I do events from Florida to Hawaii. And I'll be somewhere, and I'll be signing books, or I'll do a mediumship demo, and people come up to me and they say, "I heard you on Coast to Coast," and that is just, it's just great. And so I really want to thank you and the whole Coast to Coast team for creating this show that really puts it out there. It really shakes things up. I mean, there is no topic that's off the table, and I think that's very important. In a time when a lot of people in journalism and in the media feel like they're somehow under attack, it's almost like Coast to Coast is immune from that, because you'll talk about anything.
We will with our little twist. And of course, I didn't create it. I ran with the torch. Art Bell, we got to give him credit for that. The late Art Bell, and he probably come through to you as a after-death experience.
I would love that. Art definitely was one of the pioneers, certainly one of the great pioneers in paranormal radio. I know that later on you're doing a tribute to Stanton
Friedman. Yeah.
And if I can, just for a moment, when my father was a very young man, he was working for Morton Thiokol, and then Reaction Motor in the aerospace industry.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew of Stanton Friedman. And I remember my father telling me that he was in a laboratory in the 1950s and they were growing silicon chips. And my dad had a top secret security clearance because he'd been a Navy SEAL. And he said, "Where did we get the idea to do this?" And one of the VPs said, "Well, something happened in New Mexico a few years ago. We found something, and it gave us ideas."
I love it. So, Roswell.
You bet.
That was the place. Let's go back to the phones. And let's go. And we'll have open lines next hour, by the way, so get ready for that, folks. Let's go to Jeff in Pennsylvania. Hey, Jeffrey, go ahead.
Hi, George. I'm Mark. My name is Jeff from Lancashire, PA. I'm a full-time police officer and a homicide investigator. I've investigated hundreds of deaths, as you can imagine, but primarily accident reconstruction. So that's people who have died suddenly in car crashes and that kind of thing. So I have a lot of experience with it. And what Mark's saying about energy being transferred is one of the primary reasons I believe in the spiritual world, because, you know, energy cannot be destroyed. It can only be transferred.
That's right.
So I never had any real big experiences I could talk about on the job, but 4 years ago I bought a house, and the house was built in the 70s. And this is going to go to my question with Mark, see if he can pick anything up. But we've had a lot of activity, and I actually have a lot of proof of what's going on in my house, and I wanted to see if he could pick anything up.
Okay. Go ahead, Mark.
The funny thing is, when you were talking, I was getting, are you adjacent to either like some type of field or forest? Is the house adjacent to some like wide open area?
Wide open farm field. I live right in front of a farmer's field. It's a dairy farm.
Okay, because that's what I'm seeing in my mind's eye. That's what they're projecting to me. And, you know, I'm not one of these psychics that always whips out, "Oh, there's Native Americans." But there's some type of burial ground, and it may be Native American, but it could also be some other, you know, some settlers or farmers. And that's what I'm getting. But the thing is, I'm not getting that your house is haunted by sentient spirits. It's more of a residual energy echo. And that's one of the schools of thought in hauntings, is that, in other words, a residual energy echo, it would be like if you put on an old CD and just let it play and play and play, okay? It's a continuous loop, and it's no more a sentient spirit than your reflection in a mirror is you. And that a lot of times, to get these to stop, people that do house clearings or exorcisms, or, you know, you just sort of deflect the energy off. That's what I'm picking up about this. Do you have a basement there? And the reason I'm saying this is because I'm feeling like underground, kind of cold, wet, damp, not in a creepy way, just sort of more of a basement way.
Well, it's funny you say that because when we moved in, we didn't realize we would need dehumidifiers like we do. But, yeah, we have a basement, and we have the dehumidifier running all the time. And I do have a little bit more information I can give you, but I wanted to see what you could pick up first. And it would be to a follow-up question is we did some research, and there was a man who owned the home who died there. He was 90 years old.
Okay.
And when you're talking about this mirror image, is that basically just his energy lasting and lasting and lasting?
It's not his spirit. It's the energy. It's like generally when there's a traumatic death, and certainly in your line of work, you know better than anybody about traumatic passings. But sometimes that's why when we get into the stigmatized properties and the disclosure about death, we have to read between the lines because there's a death there, and it's sort of like an echo that somebody died here. It's not necessarily somebody walking around haunting you, because when a person dies, their spirit, their electromagnetic field, and their brain separates from the body, and they immediately revert to from a finite being to an infinite, immortal, living spirit. And there's no way they're going to hang out in the material world and be stuck in a house. I mean, put it this way, would you rather live in a garbage dump or go to a beachfront house in Maui? In other words, the beachfront house in Maui is the other side. And let me tell you something, spirits don't want to stay stuck here. And they're not stuck here, and they can't be. However, their residual energy can. The other school of thought, though, is that a spirit will return to a particular location. Now, because they're pure electromagnetic energy, they're moving at the speed of light, so they can pop in like, you know, hundreds of times during the day and then go off and do whatever it is that they do on the other side. And in fact, in the time it has taken me to say this, Jeff, a spirit which moves at 186,282 miles per second could have been back and forth to the moon, around the world 6 times, and then popped in to see what Vladimir Putin's doing before going to your house. So I wouldn't worry about that, because there's no way a spirit is going to choose staying in a house when they could go to the infinity that is the other side.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Elisa in Oregon. Hi, Elisa.
Hi, George.
Good to have you with us. Go ahead.
So my question is, who is the one person, pet, guide, angel, spirit, whatever, on the other side that has the most urgency or most wants to deliver me a message, and what might that message be?
Oh, that's a good question. All right, I'm getting an older female coming through. She could be on the parent level, but I'm getting more on the grandparent level. And what I'm getting with her is this very strange sensation in my throat. It's almost like a choking sensation, like that. And I don't think necessarily that she was choking. I think that what was going on, this feels like when people are intubated and that tubes have to be put up their nose, or possibly some type of either a ventilator or feeding tube, because I'm also getting this weird sensation in my stomach. So it indicates to me that prior to passing, she was having difficulty breathing, eating, a lot of dysfunction with the sinuses, throat, and the stomach. I'm also getting edema. I'm feeling that her legs, feet were swelling up, and I'm tasting a lot of sodium, which is an indicator that she definitely had fluid retention, along with possible diabetes and a lot of bodily inflammation, and that she was aware all this was happening, but in like the past week, I get a lack of coherence due to being heavily medicated. Does this person make sense to you in any way?
Completely.
Okay. So she's the one that wants to get through to you, and let me see what she wants you to know. All right, first off, this could be said of a lot of people, but she's jumping up and down saying, would you stop worrying so much about finances? She's telling me to convey to you that you're very responsible when it comes to finances, and that just stick to your conservative financial approach to things. Also, she said that the life lesson you have to learn is that you cannot control the behavior of family members that look up to you, but you can set the example by being calm, being fluid, and being very systematic in how you do things, and then people are going to start emulating your behavior. That's what she wants you to know.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay, great. Sounds like you touched a nerve there. Fascinating how this happens. Do you go out to get the spirit, or does the spirit come to you?
They come to me. I don't conjure or summon anybody. I'm like a radio. I open up my brain to higher frequencies. Spirits are aware of that, and because they're pure energy, that's why they're able to zip back and forth between the person that I'm reading over the phone just as easily as if that person were sitting in front of me, because everything is based on electromagnetic energy and frequency.
Let's go to Sean in Wisconsin. Welcome to the program. Hi, Sean.
Hi. I was just wondering if he could tell me if he knows how my brother died.
If you know how his brother died, Mark.
Okay, hold on.
Does he know?
Well,
let me see if we can get
seeing
him
seeing if
here.
He can.
Sean, I know this can sound really weird, but when you asked about your brother, I'm seeing hamburgers, hamburgers, hamburgers. Was your brother like a real big red meat or hamburger eater? I know that sounds goofy, but this is what I'm getting.
I am not sure.
All right, what about you?
What about me? I eat red meat. I mean.
Well, but I'm getting like an.
You mean like to excess?
Yeah, to excess.
Oh, no, not to excess, no.
Okay, so I'm not sure why he's giving me this, but let me focus on this. This is really interesting. I'm getting this brittle sensation in the bones, in my legs, and does that make any sense with him?
Well, he got in a bad accident. He got T-boned by a drunk driver, and the driver took off, and they could never find him. And he was all, you know, he had broken ribs, his back was hurting, you know, he was hurting pretty bad, and he literally just dropped dead 4 days later.
Oh, geez.
Okay, hold on. So we got the, hold on. So, yes, we're getting with the bones, the brittle bones. What I'm getting is it's almost like a sepsis from the broken bones. It was like I don't know how this works medically, but it almost feels like there was a marrow or a leakage or an infection which got into his bloodstream. It created a toxicity, and it's almost like dying from toxic shock exposure, because I'm feeling a seizure sensation, his tongue swelling, and I'm getting all of a sudden like this inflammation swelling in the sinuses and in the blood vessels in his head. And in a sense, it's almost like he choked or drowned in his own fluids, which was somehow triggered by this bloodborne infection that was what they call endogenous. In other words, created by the organism, by his body itself. Your question is, was there any type of medical malpractice here? And the interesting thing is, your brother's projecting to me there was the presence of antibiotics in his system, but they appear to be ineffective because the infection was so massive, so rapid, and it also triggered a number of other things, not just vascular, but also including his neural net, because I'm getting electrical shocks. So, unfortunately, this... Please forgive me, but this is what your brother wants me to know, because he's holding up this big watch, and I'm hearing Pink Floyd's song Time from the Dark Side of the Moon album. He said, this was my time.
Interesting. Sean, thank you. You just mentioned the riddles,
yes.
Mark, and right before you said that, I was thinking of Jimmy Hoffa. You know what his middle name was?
What?
Riddle.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
That's real weird.
That is. Anyways, good luck with your tour, which is available on your website. Good luck with your work, and keep in touch with us, Mark, all right?
Absolutely, and I look forward to seeing you in July in Florida, George. And everybody, go see George, and thank you again for having me on the show.
Thank you. Mark Anthony, up next, we're going to have open lines for you on Coast to Coast AM. And one question I'll have of you, have you ever gotten to a situation where you almost died? Tell us what happened. We'll be back.